Hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we'll be on the letter F today for forgiveness and forgiving. And we have studied the last four lessons on that subject, and I hope that you're beginning to not only appreciate the truth about what the Scriptures say concerning forgiveness and forgiving, but you're even desiring to know it. That you have a want to in you to know more about forgiveness and forgiving, and have even since we began this, even begin to pray and ask the Lord to give you the ability to exercise these things in your life, because this is part of being a Christian and following our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the character. And the character, trait of forgiveness, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Isn't that wonderful? I could read that. One of these days I'm going to have it memorized, hopefully. And just the truth in that, that our Lord has done it all, that he's forgiven us. I love that word "all," has forgiven us all trespasses, all of them. And, you know, that is crucial in our forgiveness, is that we forgive all of them. We forgive all of them. Because if you stop and think about it, in the realm of eternity, and that's what we live in. Christians live in eternity. We're in the body, and we're in this thing called time, but actually, we've already been promised eternal life, and we're never going to perish. And we actually live in eternity. We're just not there yet. We're just not in the presence of eternity like the Lord is. But we will be. We will be. Now, recapping just a little bit concerning forgiveness and forgiving, we've been over the topics of what are the synonyms of forgiveness that were used in the Scriptures, and there were many of them that the Lord uses to describe his forgiveness and the means and the process of forgiveness. We talked about what is the basis of forgiveness, God's nature and God's grace, and the shedding of blood, and the Lord Jesus Christ's death is a basis of forgiveness, and the Lord Jesus Christ's power. One thing that you're going to come to appreciate, and I mean really appreciate, is in your walk, and some of you already probably know it better than I do, but I have come to appreciate is the Lord's power and the power of the Word of God. The world doesn't understand it. The natural man understandeth not the things of God, for they're spiritually discerned to where he can't know them. But as we live as Christians, and the more we trust in the Lord, and the more the Lord reveals to us about himself, when he finds out that we want to know him, those that come unto him must believe that he is. When the Lord sees that we're sincere and we really want to know him, and we're seeking him and wanting to find out more about him and wanting to be closer to him, he'll start revealing more of his power in your life. And since you've been saved, I mean, just your salvation alone is a evidence of a powerful thing that's happened to you. And only saved, born-again people can understand that, because salvation and being born again is unexplainable. It's kind of like when Paul went to the third heaven and he came back and he said, "I can't explain it. There's no words to put it in." He said, "I got it right here on the end of my tongue, but I can't say it." And it's kind of like what we say when it's right here on the end of my tongue, but I can't say it. And that's the same thing. Paul said it's unexplainable, and our salvation and the power of our salvation is unexplainable. You can't put it in words. All you can do is tell the fruit of it, tell the evidence of it to people, and give a testimony of it. But it's wonderful, isn't it? And it's real. What's the basis of forgiveness? The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing I love about having the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Heavenly Father as my God is that He has the power to back up what He says. And if I put my trust, not if, when I put my trust in Him, and I trust in Him, and even when I don't understand it, and He tells me I can do that, and I acknowledge Him, He says He'll direct my path, and He does. And He has the power to keep His words with us. We have a written document from Him that tells us the things that He wants us to know as human beings about Him, and how He reveals Himself in His Word to us. And God the Holy Ghost helps us to understand these things. And the more trust that we put into it, then we get to see the power from the Lord, that His power reveals that He is indeed real and that He is who He says He is. He just doesn't let anybody manipulate Him. He don't let anybody treat Him like a fool. And nobody's ever going to get over on the Lord. There's been a lot of people that that speak some great swelling words against Him. But one day they're going to look at the Lord in the face, and it's going to be like that one king that's standing there, and he's seen that writing on the wall, said his knees began to shake. His knees knocked together. He was so scared. And I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of that going on. But I'm going to be in admiration and on my face before Him, aren't you? And I'm going to admire Him. I admire Him already. What's the significance of forgiveness? We found out that the very God's righteousness is significant of forgiveness, and the fact that forgiveness makes salvation real. Forgiveness shows that it's got to be preached. The Bible says that for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants everyone to be saved. His will is for everyone to be saved. But one thing that the Lord is not going to do, and that He has never done, is violated your will. He allows His creation to make up their own mind. You want people to love you because they choose to love you, and so does the Lord. And if you choose not to love the Lord and you choose to hate His guts, then He'll let you do that. He's not going to force you to love Him. And if you want to die and go to hell and you want to be tormented for eternity and punished for eternity and be on that side of the Lord will allow that. And He's not going to violate your will. He'll do all He can to convince you and try to persuade you that that His Son is His gift to you so that you can have eternal life. And all you have to do is believe on Him and receive it. Don't cost you nothing. Then the Lord will go out of His way to convince you and try to persuade you. But He's not going to twist your arm until you finally give. He's going to, if you want to go to hell, He's going to let you go to hell. He is righteous and He's holy, but He wants to be loved because you choose to love Him and you love Him for who He is and for the way He is and for the wonderful, kind, compassionate, everlasting, beautiful God that He is. And He is that. What's the significance of forgiveness? We talked about forgiveness our last recording, forgiveness and how much, how long, and what's the measure of it? And we went over some factors concerning that topic. Forgiveness is to be unlimited. Forgiveness is to follow repentance and confession. You know, in order for somebody to have changed, there has to be a liability involved. There's a lot of people that want to claim change in their life. I want things to be different. I want to be different. I want change. I don't want to be this way anymore. But they don't want to accept liability. It's not my fault. And most of the time when we say it's not my fault, time proves us wrong. The majority of things in my life and the things that have happened in my life, if I narrow it all the way down, no matter who was involved in it, I was the final one. That now, granted, we've been done wrong and people have sinned against us, and we know that. But we're talking about forgiveness. And in order for there to be forgiveness, there has to be repentance and there has to be confession. But there can't be any sincere repentance or any sincere confession unless there is some sincere realization of liability. In other words, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong, and I'm stepping over on your side and I'm pointing a finger at myself, and I take your side against me. I'm wrong. And the Bible says if you'll confess it, that he's faithful and just to forgive you that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's pretty easy, isn't it? All you have to do is confess it. But you know, that is one of the hardest things and most stubbornest things. A man will die and go to hell on his deathbed suffering from cancer rather than tell God he's sorry and just tell the truth and have eternal life in heaven. He'll die in his sin and go to hell. That's how stubborn human beings are. And you know, the Lord knows that. But the Lord couldn't have made it any easier. He couldn't have made it any easier. It's free. All it takes is the asking. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All it takes is asking and believing on the Lord when you call on him. And you don't have to know anything else or understand anything else having to do with any big major doctrinal things and stuff like that. You don't have to know the whole Bible before you get saved. You don't have to know nothing. All you have to do is believe what God said about his son. And that's through faith. You wasn't there. He just said, believe it because I said it in my word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It don't get any easier. And the Lord said that if you do that, he would keep his promise with you. And when you die and leave your body, he will keep his promise with you and his covenant with you through the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And you will go to heaven and be with him for eternity. Forgiveness is to be pursued. Even if it's not your fault, we are to pursue forgiveness. Forgiveness is to be as God forgave us. Forgiveness is to be on purpose. And we went over those. Now, today we're going to talk about a different topic. And what it's going to be is, what are the benefits of forgiving one another? Are there benefits with forgiveness? Or is it just something that's commanded and something that's recommended and something that God wants us to do and something that Christians are supposed to do? Or is it profitable? Is it profitable? Is there fruit in forgiving and in forgiveness? Well, if we told the truth, we don't even have to ask that question. We know by our lives already, if you have any kind of life experience at all, that forgiveness has always been something that's been profitable to you and to me, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yep. Are there any benefits to forgiving and being forgiven? In the world today, people are racing everywhere to find the answers to fulfillment while they avoid the issues of forgiveness, like leprosy. What people are doing by this is the same as taking an aspirin when what they need is penicillin. Forgiveness is one of the most medicinal properties for physical, mental, and spiritual ailments today. Forgiveness heals. I bet you cannot think of one time or instant that forgiveness corrupted anything, anywhere, at any time. That's because God is the originator of forgiveness. Praise his name. You know, only the Lord could have created forgiveness. If man was the creator, man would have never come up with forgiveness. You know it? Think about that. Why then is it so difficult to accomplish? Why is this thing of forgiveness so difficult to accomplish with human beings? Because it goes against the grain of what we are. Jesus said, if you being evil, we're evil. We're sinners. There's nothing good in us. The only thing good about me is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and since I've been born again, the righteousness of Jesus Christ has cleansed me and circumcised my soul from my flesh, and my flesh is still not saved, and it's going back to the dirt, just like God said. We're poor, depraved, and helpless, fleshly sinners that cannot make it without God, and will, without His help, self-destruct. And we will. I will, and you will. If we didn't have God's power being exercised in our life when we know it and when we don't know it, we would self-destruct. Any time that you was willingly and rebelliously away from the Lord and disobedient to the Lord and defiant against the Lord, your life didn't do nothing but head straight toward death. But any time we repent and we give forgiveness and get forgiveness, we seem to be healed. We heal and we begin to have life again, don't we? And our life begins to flower into life. So let's see some things. What are the benefits of forgiving one another? Well, one thing is that forgiveness benefits because it is the means of our forgiveness. It is the means of our forgiveness. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Now you say, well, that ain't fair. God said that any time I confess my sin, that He would forgive me. Well, He will. But the fact of the matter is that if you're standing there and you're praying, like the Lord said, and when you stand praying, forgive. It's a choice. Forgiving somebody that you know that you need to forgive is a choice. And you make that decision in your heart, personally, you make the decision in yourself about the direction you're going to go, whether to forgive or whether not to forgive. And it says, if you have aught against any, and that when you stand praying, forgive it. And that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. You say, well, I thought God said He'd forgive me no matter what. Well, He will. But the problem is that when you're standing there and you're praying, and you have aught against somebody, and you rebel in your heart and defy in your heart the forgiveness, and you decide that you're not going to forgive that person, then your heart is in such a condition to where you can't properly confess to the Lord your own sins. And you can't confess to the Lord to get forgiveness because you have issues in your heart of non-forgiveness, of the unwillingness to forgive others. So God cannot forgive you because you can't properly confess it. You see how that thing works? That's how it works. It's not because God doesn't want to. It's because you won't allow Him to. You see. So forgiveness benefits because it's the means of our forgiveness. When you forgive others, it's easier and it makes it more valid for you to receive forgiveness from your Father. I mean, how would it be if you had two children and one of them was mad as he could be against one of them, and then the one that was mad at the other one and wouldn't forgive the other one done something and he wanted your forgiveness? What would you think about him? You would think, well, wait just a minute. You asking me to forgive you and look what your brother, you'd bring that right up, wouldn't you? Sure you would. But what if instead of rebelling and defying, that brother that was mad at your other son, he immediately forgave that thing. And then the next day he offended and he came to you for forgiveness, you would immediately forgive him, wouldn't you? You see how that thing works? Forgiveness benefits because it is the means of our forgiveness. The Bible says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And the Bible also says, well, listen to this. It's a little kind of like a poem, and I'm not a poet, so if I don't sound like one, don't be too bad upset. This is from Kathleen Wheeler. She wrote this, and I kind of like it. It says, he came to my desk with quivering lip. The lesson was done. Have you a new leaf for me, dear teacher? I have spoiled this one. I took his leaf all soiled and blotted and gave him a new one all unspotted. Then into his tired heart I smiled, do better now, my child. I went to the throne with trembling heart. The day was done. Have you a new day for me, dear father? I have spoiled this one. He took my day all soiled and blotted and gave me a new one all unspotted. Then into my tired heart he smiled, do better now, my child. That's it, ain't it? Isn't that it? That's beautiful. You know, if thou, Lord, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 130, verse 3 and 4, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? Now, why in the world of us knowing these facts and knowing of the truth of the Word of God, where the Lord said, you know, if the Lord was to mark down iniquities and start taking toll about iniquities, oh, it ain't none of us could stand, none of us. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, the Bible says. He's a wonderful Lord. So, what are there benefits? What are the benefits of forgiving one another? Well, one of them is that forgiveness benefits because it's the means of our forgiveness. Another one is forgiveness benefits because it restores Christian fellowship and spoils Satan's attempts. It restores Christian fellowship and spoils Satan's attempts. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, hold on a minute. I got something messed up here. I got to find my way. My goodness, how embarrassing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm sorry. Verse 6 through 11, the Bible says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, with Christ's love. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now you know what this is about. This is about Paul talking to a church in Corinth that exercised punishment against one of theirs, one of the Christians, for doing wrong, and he came back and repented. And when he came back in the church, Paul was giving them some advice to make sure that they encouraged him, that he had already had his punishment, and to forgive him and to comfort him unless he gets swallowed up with too much sorrow about what he had done, and it ruins his walk. And he said that they should confirm their love toward him, and that he was encouraging them to do this. He said, because he said, you know, if the church forgives him, then I forgive him. And he said that forgive him in the person of Christ, with Christ's love, not the world's love, but with Christ's love. And then it says also, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. Forgiveness benefits because it restores Christian fellowship and spoils Satan's attempts. You know, one of the biggest things that Satan wants to do is to keep some kind of thing driven down between two Christians all the time. He always wants to make Christians mad at Christians. What better way than you mess up? What better way to destroy the enemy than to mess up his communication? You drive stakes and get them mad at each other, and then they fight amongst themselves, and you ain't got to worry about fighting them so bad. It restores Christian fellowship. You don't have to avoid anybody. You can go to bed at night and sleep well and sleep with peace because your conscience is clear. Sure, you've made mistakes, but you've apologized for them, and you've made it right, and it's over with, and it's done, it's forgotten. And we can look one another in the face again. And we can hug one another's neck again. You see, forgiveness benefits because it restores Christian fellowship and it spoils Satan's attempts. Satan don't get away with messing up the love of Christ. You see, there's a difference in loving somebody with the love of Christ than there is loving somebody with the fake love of the world. Because it's not really love anyway, is it? Okay, what's another one of this thing? What are some of the benefits of forgiving and forgiveness? Forgiveness benefits because it provides cleansing for those that are involved. It provides cleansing for those that are involved. In James chapter 5 and verse 14 through 16, the Bible says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." And then it says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. That the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's talking about a sick man, probably physical sickness, or maybe, you know, any kind of sickness. Call for the elders of the church, that they pray over him, anoint him with oil, and this is the way that that the Bible says that we get the Lord's attention on specific matters of sickness. Okay, and for somebody that wants to be prayed for of some kind of ailment that they have. Okay, but then it says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another." That's the forgiveness and the benefits of forgiveness and forgiving. What's the benefit? That ye may be healed. That's talking about physical healing. That's talking about physical healing. That's talking about mental healing, psychological healing. You name it, any kind of healing. Forgiveness benefits because it provides cleansing for those that are involved. Everybody gets benefits from forgiveness and forgiving. And how do they do that? By confessing your faults one to another. You go and tell somebody. Remember we talked about that yesterday, or the other day on the last lesson. That if you know your brother has aught against you, go to him. And fix that thing. Do all you can to fix it. Because it heals. I don't know why people walk around and they're just sick in their head and sick in their mind and sick in their conscience and sick in their... You know, you can be so sick mentally that it makes you physically sick. You can be so sick in your affections, so sick in your psychological part of you, you can be so sick in your spirit that it make you physically sick. Forgiveness benefits because it provides cleansing. The Lord said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what else? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, a lot of times, that's what we need. And the only way that we can get cleansed and get the dirt off of us and out of us and away from us is through confession of our faults, and that we pray for one another that we may be healed. And the Lord wouldn't have said it if He wasn't going to do it. And you know in your heart that if you put sincere effort in confessing your faults and done your part of what you need to do, that your conscience is telling you and God the Holy Ghost is telling you, and you pray about that and you want healing in it, then, and you do all that you can do to fix that thing, 99% of the chances are is it's going to be fixed. Right? Right. That's right. It is right. God's right. The Word of God is right. Another thing that benefits, that's a benefit for giving one another, not only because it restores Christian fellowship and spoils Satan's attempts, not only because it provides cleansing for those that are involved, but forgiveness benefits because it seeks to restore trust. It seeks to restore trust. One thing about holding grudges and not forgiving and not being forgiven is that you don't trust each other no more. You don't trust each other. You can't. You can't. But forgiveness restores trust. Listen to this in Acts chapter 15, verse 35 through 41. Yeah, the Bible tells us about people that this stuff went on before. In human beings, it goes on all the time. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. That was John Mark. Okay, that was the Mark that wrote your Bible, or wrote the book of Mark in the Bible. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia. In other words, John Mark went with Paul on one of his missionary journeys, and right in the middle of it, he took off and left him and abandoned him, and went not with them to the work. Well, Paul was still holding a grudge about that. And he didn't. And then when him and Barnabas decided they wanted to go see all the churches again, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. And Paul and Barnabas got in a big argument about it. It says, and the contention, the arguing between Paul and Barnabas about taking John Mark was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. Had a split. And you know that happens in churches. Have church splits because of stuff like that. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, the thing about it is forgiveness benefits because it seeks to restore trust. Now, through all them journeys, and see, Mark, John Mark, had gotten himself right, and was seeking forgiveness about that. And he felt bad about leaving Paul, but Paul hadn't accepted that yet. So John Mark went with Barnabas on his journey. But later on, when Paul was writing to Timothy, in one of Timothy's letters, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he wrote this. He said, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You see, later on, Paul had forgiven that thing that Mark done, and he was writing Timothy, and he said, when you come, he said, bring Mark, He said, bring John Mark with you. He said, he is profitable to me for the ministry. Because Paul seen that Mark had changed his ways and he had wanted forgiveness and he got them things straightened out and it restored trust. And Paul began to trust Mark again. He said, he's profitable to me for the ministry. So see, folks, brothers and sisters, just because you've made some mistakes and you've offended people and these things go on, we're sinners. They're going to go on until you go back to the dirt, until you leave that body and they put your and you go to be with the Lord and your body goes back in the dirt. You're going to sin. You're not going to sin as much as you would have without the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and hindering you from doing that kind of stuff. But you're still going to fight it until the end. Okay? And if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, to where we can get forgiveness and we can give forgiveness. And forgiveness benefits because it seeks to restore trust. You don't have to walk around, and you can restore the trust between you and whether it be a family member, whether it be somebody in the church, one of our brothers and sisters, or whether it be whoever. But trust can be restored, and it will be restored as soon as forgiveness is addressed. Forgiveness benefits because it seeks to restore trust. It seeks to restore trust. And Paul's letter to Philemon concerning his runaway servant Onesimus. Paul had run into this fellow named Onesimus, and he was a runaway servant of a man named Philemon, of one of the books in your Bible that's written to Philemon from Paul. Okay, and what he's writing about is this fellow named Onesimus. And Onesimus was a runaway. He escaped from his master, which was Philemon. And Paul met him and led him to the Lord. And now Onesimus was saved and he confessed his faults and Paul told him to do what was right. So we can see that Paul is standing up for Onesimus, and Onesimus had gotten saved and now is a different man, going to do the right thing and go back where he was supposed to be. And Paul puts his honor on the line for him. Paul writes in Philemon, and he says to Onesimus in Philemon chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 and 16 through 18, listen to what he says. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. See, he called him his son. He was his spiritual son because he led him to the Lord. He said, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, Paul was bound and in jail, and he run into Onesimus somewhere, somehow, and he led him to the Lord. So he's writing to Philemon, and he sends this letter with Onesimus to go back to Philemon and turn himself in there and get back where he's supposed to be. He says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. You see how Paul took up for him? And you see how it restored trust? Paul won him to the Lord. And Onesimus was running around, and he was an escaped servant of Philemon. And Paul led him to the Lord, and the Lord made all the difference in it. Onesimus confessed, and Paul said, okay, well, you got to get back there. And he wrote a letter, had him take it, and he handed it to Philemon, and Paul told him, said, listen, he's a brother in the Lord now, and Philemon was saved also, and he said, accept him like you would accept me as a brother in the Lord and not just a servant. And I'm sure he did, and he did. So you see, it restores trust, even when you do wrong. And this thing is forgiven. It just brings trust back and all the wonderful things of being a Christian and Christ-like love. You see? So, just to recap a little bit, we've talked about what are the benefits of forgiving one another. Well, forgiveness benefits because it's the means of our forgiveness. Forgiveness benefits because it restores Christian fellowship and spoils Satan's plans. And we can do with spoiling his plans as many times as we can. Forgiveness benefits because it provides cleansing for those that are involved. Forgiveness benefits because it seeks to restore trust. So there we are. That's good stuff, ain't it? That's good stuff. Okay, so we're going to go into this next portion. We're going to stop right now. And in the next recording, we're going to talk about, when it comes to forgiveness and forgiving, we're going to talk about some scriptural examples of forgiveness and forgiving. We're going to look into the Bible like we have been, and we're going to see some forgiveness and forgiving between people in the Scriptures and some examples that the Lord has given us concerning forgiveness and forgiving. So if you got your pencils, I'm going to give you these Scriptures. Are you ready? Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Psalm chapter 130, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11. James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Acts chapter 15, verse 34 through 41. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. And let's see here, what else we got? Philemon chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 and 16 through 18. And I thought we had more than that. Nope, that's it. That's it. Okay, so we'll stop right there. And next time we're going to pick up and we're going to talk about scriptural examples for forgiveness and forgiving. So far, we have been on the topics of forgiveness and forgiving. We've talked about the basis of forgiving. We've talked about the significance of forgiving. We've talked about forgiveness and how much and how long and what's the measure of it. We've talked about what are the benefits of forgiving. And I think this next one that we're going to talk about, the scriptural examples of forgiveness and forgiving, will pretty well wind up this ABCs of Christian Growth Study. It's good stuff, isn't it? You know, if we just stopped right here on forgiveness and forgiving, the Scriptures have already proved to us the benefits of forgiving, haven't they? Is there any changes that you can make? Any changes at all? Anything that you can do to bring forgiveness or give forgiveness in your life right now that would show Christ's love and give Christ's love, and not only give it, but you could receive it, and it would heal. Anything at all that you pray about that thing, and whatever the Lord leads you to do, mind the Lord, and it'll come out right. Okay? All right. Well, we love you in the Lord, and love you with Christ's love, and hope that you are really profiting and bearing fruit from this, and that you're growing from it. I know I am. So until the next recording, bye-bye.